This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, which includes the Shell gas stations in Daphne on 98 and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash on 181. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning to you, Laurie.
Is this a beautiful day or what?
I love the fall weather.
I do too. I'm anxious for it to get a little bit cooler, stop the air conditioning, save money. Hey, listen, saving money in this particular time is important with all this inflation stuff. So good weather, it's fortuitous. I'm glad it's happening. But what I'm not glad about is the usual kind of bad news we've had to be looking at for the last week or so. Now, I have to say that my wife and I just got back from Eunice, Louisiana, where she had her 60th high school reunion.
Oh, fun.
Got to see a whole bunch of her high school friends, which I've gotten to know a bunch of them because we've gone to these things forever. But at any rate, I mean, so here's a nice long weekend doing all of these good things, and yet there remains out there all of these issues that are continuing to drive everyone crazy. Okay, so what I wanted to do today was talk about some of these national issues and some international issues, and then also bring in someone who is just an outstanding example of the kinds of person that we need to have, you know, a major impact on policy questions in our local and state areas. Okay. And that individual is Stephanie Dernan. She's the co-director of Health Freedom Alabama, an organization that she'll talk to you a little bit about. But my main point in bringing her here today is to let everyone know that there are people who are doing something about what's going on with whether it's the mask mandate here in Baldwin County, which she successfully fought against. And if you'll notice, Eddie Tyler did move these masks away from the kids, and it's up to the parents to choose if they want to send them with a mask, except on the buses. I think he's still doing that. And she's involved with dealing with trying to protect our workers from these vaccine mandates, which, again, we've already seen various institutions as well as, you know, private businesses trying to, you know, impose a vaccine mandate. You want a job? Got to get the jab. So I think it's important for people to understand that there are individuals out there working to fight all of this. And it's important that we do this. And so I wanted to make sure that she has an opportunity to come on to talk to you all about that. But first, before she comes on, I wanted to spend a little bit of time on these international and national issues, okay? We've seen all of these Chinese airplanes penetrating Taiwan's airspace, okay, their air defense zone. And you have to ask yourself, okay, well, what is going on here? And I think there are a couple of things to consider. If you remember a few weeks ago, Lieutenant Commander D. Cox was on, and we talked about some of these issues pertaining to China's long-term strategy and what they're trying to do. And clearly, what they want to do is take over Taiwan, okay? Just as they were able to completely subvert the international agreements about Hong Kong, if you recall all that. Well, all of those international agreements went right up in smoke because the Chinese Communist Party could not put up with the freedoms associated with Hong Kong and what they did in terms of, you know, offering an alternative to the Chinese Communist Party system. That just can't be stood. It will not stand. And it did not stand. And that's exactly what's happening with Taiwan. Okay? Now, whether or not they are going to attack tomorrow or not remains to be seen. But it is clear that from our perspective, we have got to be doing a few things to deter any type of Chinese attack here. And you say, well, why? Is that our business? I mean, you know, If they want to, if Taiwan wants to join China, then let them. You know, who cares? Well, we better care, because in part, Taiwan doesn't want to join China. Okay, China has declared that there's a one China policy, and that one China policy includes Taiwan. So let's take a look at this from the standpoint of our relationship with Taiwan. And it seems to me that what's happening here is a direct threat to our Taiwan ally. Okay? Now, we don't have paper treaties as we did before. I understand that. But the relationship is strong. And so the question is, are we going to just watch China either bully Taiwan into submission or physically take Taiwan? Now, right now, the question is, well, I mean, you know, we know that Biden is compromised by Hunter Biden and his money and getting all this money out of China. Got it. But so far, although he has had a disastrous run of foreign policy questions in just about every other area, one can make the case that at least they're sending some of our specialists to train in Taiwan, that they are building up the Taiwan capability to defend themselves. Now, the real question, though, is if push comes to shove and China does decide to launch some sort of a surprise attack, can we respond in time to help Taiwan preserve its own freedom? And I think that this is the real issue. I mean, what is our capability to deal with all of the Chinese missile development over the past 10 years? Can our 7th Fleet actually defend itself from Chinese missile attack? The argument at this point is that there's probably a lot of stuff that we have that we don't know about, which is fine with me, because we need to make sure that if we deploy forward towards Taiwan to help them, that our ships are going to survive and that we will prevail. That's a question that has to be answered. But I think that Biden, you know, has to make these commitments, and he can't make these kind of commitments to improve our capabilities by cutting back the defense budget. So let's just hope that this works itself out. Let me talk about one more thing before Stephanie comes on. This question about the border. Actually, I might talk about two things if I've got time to squeeze it in. The question about the border is something that has been raging since day one. I've talked to you about it since Biden became president. The border is not closed, as Homeland Secretary Majorca keeps telling us. It's closed. I mean, that's like Biden and Jen Psaki saying, well, you know, this $3.5 trillion border, you know, spending bill, it's not going to cost anything. Cost nothing. You've got to be kidding me, okay? The point is that, and I just heard this morning, you've got 16,000 illegals with COVID who ICE was forced to release into the country. Now, given the fact that Biden's telling everybody, well, if you've got, you know, if you don't get the jab, then it's all on you and you're going to lose your job. Meanwhile, they're allowing these COVID contagious people into the country. I mean, what is that? Well, I don't think you have to dig too far to get an answer to that. What they want is to prolong the pandemic. They want to keep it going. And why is that? Because of how successful they were in 2020 using the COVID as cover for stealing the election. Now you say, oh, Dr. Liu, you can't say steal. You're damn right I can say steal. I will say steal till the day I die, okay? But let's just look at the cold facts here. If the pandemic can be kept alive, and the best way to do it is to keep bringing in these illegals who are going to spread this stuff. And even, and here again, we get back to the vaccine issue. Okay, I've been vaccinated. But these breakthrough problems where even the vaccinated are getting the Delta variant is an issue. Now, it seems to be subsiding, and we've ridden through the Delta variant, all like that. I got that. But the point is, there still seems to be a susceptibility to COVID. And all I'm telling you is that this plays exactly into the Democrat hands. Why is that? Because, oh my God, you can't go to the polls. You need that mail-in ballot. And if you need that mail-in ballot, guess what? Then they have us by the throats once again. And that's what's going on with this as far as I'm concerned. And I do think that this is an issue that needs to be looked at, and thank goodness Governor Abbott and other Republican governors on the border, along with DeSantis, he's looking at that. And I would argue that this is exactly where we need to be going with this. We have got to interpose ourselves between, you know, the illegals that are running through this country because the feds are not doing their job. That has to be done. And I'm hoping that Governor Ivey will do something along those lines with, you know, trying to, you know, support Texas in their fight to keep their border secure. So, Laurie has just told me that I've got Stephanie Dernan on the line. Stephanie, are you there?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing this morning?
It's a beautiful day in Fairhope today.
It certainly is. I made the same observation. Boy, are we smart, I'll tell you. All right, well, listen. I want to welcome you as the co-director of the Health Freedom Alabama. So, Stephanie, just give us a little background on you know, how Health Freedom came about and your role in it, and where you see things going down the road with what you're trying to do.
Well, Health Freedom Alabama grew up out of the grassroots effort to pass the bill last session to ban vaccine passports in Alabama. And so this summer we organized into an official name, Health Freedom Alabama, and our focus is on protecting Alabama citizens from vaccine mandates, either from the federal government, the state and local government, as well as private employers.
Well, let me ask you this. On the local level, I know you've had some success fighting mask mandates. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we get into the state issues?
Well, there was a really great group in Baldwin County that was battling the mask mandates put down by the Baldwin County School Board of Education, and it was another grassroots effort, and these parents were mad, and they did their jobs, and they contacted their school board members and the school superintendent, and they made their voices heard, and really that's what it boils down to, and that's what it's going to take for any issue with our government where our children's rights are in jeopardy or our personal rights and liberties are in jeopardy. We have to stand up and take charge of our government.
Well, what I thought was interesting with the mask mandate down here was that you were able to organize it and actually put out banners that were taken around the county with airplanes during football games. And I think that sort of ingenuity in getting the message out really did translate into an effective way to get their attention, as well as making a change in the policy. Because if I'm not mistaken, 2 days after the first flight with the banners, Eddie Tyler changed the mask mandate to just it's up to the parents. Is that right?
Well, he actually changed it the same day that we flew.
Okay, I was close. All right. Well, he did change it.
It just goes to show what you can do with a large population of angry parents.
Yes.
And what that's doing, you know, the same thing we're seeing in the health freedom movement, it is parlaying into a large population of angry voters because they are demanding that their representatives and their lawmakers stand up and do something to protect their jobs and their livelihoods.
Right. Well, you know, as far as what we're seeing nationally, Loudoun County is sort of ground zero for these kinds of parental protests. And I think that you've been able to plug into something that's, you know, certainly national, but it's also, excuse me, very much a local issue. And, you know, I think that the success you've been able to see here locally is something that can be translated into a wider statewide success. So let's talk about Governor Ivey and the pressure that you're putting on her, along with other groups. Okay, this is not just, you know, health freedom, but I think as a broad coalition moving in the same direction, what is the game plan to try to get Governor Ivey to move in the right direction here to protect the rights of our citizens to their jobs?
You know, quite frankly, I think Governor Ivey's a lost cause on this matter. She has not stood up to protect her citizens at all. There has been a loud drum pounding on her phone lines and pounding in her emails, and we have heard nothing but crickets from her. I have no faith in her that she's going to stand up and do the right thing. It is in the lap of our representatives and our senators to stand up in the special session and to push HB 31 forward so that we can have protections for our Alabama citizens against the discrimination that we are seeing, not only in the workforce, but in situations with concerts or venues or whatnot, denying access based upon your discrimination, your vaccination status.
Okay, so the forthcoming session, and this is going to be basically all about the redistricting plans that have to be done, right? So
yes, sir.
What the game plan is to try to get, and I think you've labeled this HB 31, which was a document that has been supported by, I think, Representative Horton, as well as 24 co-sponsors. Can you just tell everyone how that bill came about and your role in bringing that about?
Well, Representative Richie Horton filed that bill more than 2 weeks ago in the House of Representatives, and it is known as the Alabama Health Freedom Act. And we saw a need in this state to address this issue to protect our citizens from discrimination in a way that SB 267, which passed last session, did not do. So this bill fills the gaps in that 267, which is the vaccine passport bill that would prevent vaccine passports in Alabama. This just fills those gaps in and protects our citizens even more. If this passes, we would be the greatest state and the freest state from COVID mandates and vaccine mandates in the entire nation.
Right. Okay. So at this particular juncture, then, we're waiting to see whether or not there is going to be that HB 31 is going to be included in the call for the special session. Is that correct?
You know, the governor can include this in the call and make it easier to get the votes, but she doesn't necessarily have to put this on the call in order for us to get it in the special session. We contend that we have the votes as it stands right now to get this passed. We have some freedom and liberty-loving representatives in the House right now in Alabama who are going to push this forward, and this is going to land in the laps of those lawmakers, whether they like it or not. And they're going to have to take a vote on it, whether they like it or not. And I can tell you right now, they don't want to vote on this. They do not want to show their constituents where they stand on this because it makes them have to stand up. And it's almost election time. And there are deep pockets in the Business Council of Alabama who are funding their campaigns, who are pushing back against this legislation. And they are stuck between a rock and a hard place, and we're going to know their true colors sooner or later.
Let me ask you this. What do you think the BCA's motive for opposing HB 31 is? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, on the one hand, you know, if you have 100 employees or over, then the feds are talking about forcing you to make sure all of these people are vaccinated. So why would the BCA not want to see the interposition of, you know, the state and protect them from this kind of, you know, federal overreach?
You know, I can't speak for the BCA, but I can tell you that HB 31 will protect businesses from federal overreach as much as it'll protect employees from employer overreach. You know, there are some grumblings going on that we shouldn't be able to hold employers accountable for what they are demanding of their employees, but your basic freedoms and liberties should at least begin at the threshold of your skin. Your employers do not own your body. They can dictate your uniform, your rate of pay, your hours, but they can't dictate your medical choices. That is an absolute ridiculous notion that the BCA is out there pounding their drum on saying, hey, you know, we shouldn't be able to hold employers accountable for the vaccine mandates on their employees. That's an antiquated thought process.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate because, like, in too many cases, the BCA is on the wrong side of a lot of issues. As you well know, we've been fighting this, you know, what is it, Common Core, for all these years, and the BCA has always been our major stumbling block because they keep pouring all of this pro-Common Core money into these legislative campaigns, and they get their way. So, you know, I guess where we are at this point, though, is that despite the BCA's support, well, let's put it this way. Despite the BCA's opposition to what you're trying to do, there still seems to be this groundswell of opposition to these mandates, and that is where I think we can, you know, all push hard and get it across the line. Is that basically what you're thinking?
You know, we have thousands and thousands of members in our organization all across the state. This is just not a Baldwin County initiative. This is a statewide initiative, and we have statewide power in our members to hold their lawmakers accountable and to root out who is standing with the BCA because of their large contributions to their campaigns.
Well, I mean,
you know, we are identifying this bill, HB 31. The nickname in our leadership is it's a term limits bill, because I can guarantee you, if representatives and senators and our lawmakers don't get on board with protecting the jobs of Alabama citizens by supporting this bill, and they have a no vote on it, they can guarantee they will not be reelected next election cycle.
Well, I mean, then tied to that is finding good candidates to run against these folks who are resisting what you're trying to do. And I know that that's something that that Common Sense Campaign has been involved with. And I know that there's a degree of difficulty with it because, you know, the bench is not very deep, and that is a real problem. But I do think that at this particular juncture, you're fighting the good fight, and that these individuals, despite their BCA affiliation, may very well find it impossible not to support what you're doing. At least that's, let's hope that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
No, I'm very excited about what I'm hearing in our communities, not only here but across the state, because people see what's going on, and there is such a huge awakening going on with people to get involved in our local government that I think you're going to see candidates step up in these elections, just like we're seeing candidates stepping up in school board elections across our state. I think people are hearing that call to action to do better, to stand for freedom and liberty, and I think we're going to see some great elections coming up in this upcoming election cycle.
Well, I certainly hope you're correct about that, and I'll guarantee you that Common Sense will work closely with you to identify these candidates and put them in the spotlight to where they can win. I mean, I know down here, you know, Joe Faust has not signed on yet, as far as I can see, to supporting HB 31. Is that correct?
We actually had Representative McMillan sign on as a co-sponsor, and we certainly appreciate his efforts in standing with freedom and liberty to protect jobs in the state. I know that there's some rumblings with some other representatives that they don't like the measures in this bill to hold people accountable who would violate the law when this passes.
Right.
It's important to know that discrimination in all forms should be illegal. And if this was another era in our country, we would not be kowtowing to employers who would be breaking the law and violating discrimination laws in our state whatsoever.
So the point is that if you find that you are being discriminated against because of vaccines, you have the right to sue that individual who is discriminating against you. Is that correct?
Correct. Now, this wouldn't create any further hardship on any other employers than they already have to comply with when you're talking about discrimination against gender, age, race, religion. This just means you can't discriminate against somebody based upon their vaccination status either.
Right. Well, when it comes to making sure that our local delegation, and I mean, we are a local station here, so to make sure that our local delegation is in tandem with you, okay? You've mentioned McMillan. I've mentioned Faust not being on board. What about Shiver up there in North Alabama, North Baldwin, and Stimson in Daphne? Where do we stand with those other three?
Yeah, they have not signed on to be co-sponsor of HB 31. I know that Mr. Shiver has had some good conversations with some of his constituents. I'm terribly disappointed in Mr. Faust and Mr. Simpson and their silence in this matter. It seems like they have no interest in protecting the jobs of their constituents at all.
Well, I think that maybe this week is a week where we try to have a meeting of the minds and, get them to see where we are with this and make it clear that, it's their choice and that we will primary them if they don't move in this direction. I think that's a fair approach to this, and I think it's something that needs to be done because we've had these issues all along. And again, I get back to Common Core. I mean, all these years, it's the same story. And I think that in this particular case, you're onto something that is, critical. I mean, look, Common Core is critical. I understand that from the broad perspective of education. But when you're talking about forcing someone out of a job, and you've already had, in fact, the data is there in terms of the fact that this is actually happening. It's not an abstract idea. So you've got people who are going to be motivated to fight this and fight it because their livelihood depends upon it. And I think that, you're on the right trail with this, and I can only, applaud you for doing what you're doing, Stephanie, and thank you very much. We're about out of time here. So if you want to just take
thank
a couple
so
of minutes
much, Dr. Lee.
To just wrap it up and let us know anything that else that we can do to help you with this. And how to contact you.
I'd love your listeners to go check out www.healthfreedomalabama.com. And you can join the movement there by plugging in your name and your email address and your phone number, and you'll get text message alerts straight to your phone with calls to action. And you can join the tens of thousands of people in the state who are already making those phone calls and holding their representatives and their lawmakers accountable to protect our jobs and protect the citizens in Alabama.
Okay. Stephanie, thank you so much for what you're doing. I really appreciate it. And common sense will be behind you 110%, no doubt. All right?
Thank you so much, Dr. Lee, for all of your support.
Thank you.
That is healthfreedomalabama.com. Healthfreedomalabama.com.
Thanks again, Stephanie. Take care. All right, well, once again, you see the outlines of the grassroots trying to do what's right by everyone in the state. And I think that the fact that, you've got someone like Stephanie working for you is just another reason for you to get yourself involved in this. Again, those of us who I'm vaccinated, so I'm not an issue, but I guarantee you, I've seen people that I know and people who have spoken up who have lost their job on, and so this isn't an abstract. This is a real issue, and I think it's important for us to rally around those people who do not want to get vaccinated for whatever reason, whether it's a religious thing or because you have COVID and you've already got the immunity. What the hell are we talking about forcing people to do this? whether people here in Alabama or our military folks or anyone else. This is not an issue that is just going to go away simply because Biden, you know, is going to, you know, try to, you know, push his way through this and force people to do this. We need to stand up, and we need to stand up now. So please join Stephanie's, you know, health freedom movement, and do your part. And that doesn't mean that you have to give money. That's not anything about this. What it means is that you have to be willing to sign up and make your calls and send your texts. And let these people know that we're alive and we're not going to put up with this crap. Oh, Lord, Lori, I'll tell you what. Sometimes it gets so frustrating. I mean, it really is. But I know that I don't want to get you frustrated by running over. So, folks, here we come to another end of our, you know, Conservative Watchdog News Review. Please take care. Enjoy this nice weather while we can before something comes to ruin the good weather. I won't say what. I don't want to put a jinx on the good weather movement here. But at any rate, y'all take care. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. Good show. Very good show.
You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomanosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on 98 and in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash on 181. If you'd like to tell a friend about this show, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com.